Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you put it in people's hearts, Lord, to come out and hear your word. And Lord, we're so thankful that you've put it in my heart to speak it. Lord, the flesh don't agree with that always, Lord, but the flesh don't get a say. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord, all that you have brought to pass, Lord, and all that you promised and have brought to pass. We thank you for it and pray that you'll be with us this morning. Bless the hearer and the speaker. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. So, y'all probably recognize some of the quotes from Wednesday night, but I wanted to try to reiterate some points, but it's going a little different direction than we went Wednesday night. And I want us to remember, though, before we go in, before we start this, remember what we, in the first parts of these messages, when we were talking about how that Brother Branham said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, when he talked about how that God wanted to have preeminence in Christ, pay the price, so that he might have preeminence in us. And to think about those two things taking place like that, and how that that's, that idea or that thought is in the message in all different ways, all kinds of different ways. And so we want to look at another one of those ways this morning. And let's read the scripture in John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now remember those words, preparing a place. Jesus left to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I'll come again. So once he gets this place prepared, he's coming back. And receive you unto myself. So something has to do with this place he's preparing, has to do with him receiving us to himself. Amen. So just think about it. And that, and this is the really good part here, that where I am, there you shall be also. So this place that he's preparing is going to bring this to pass.
Amen.
And so let's think closely about those things and some of the things that we've already spoke on in the other messages. Also, keep in mind that the second coming, Brother Branham said, is when he comes to get his bride.
Yes, sir.
The first time he come to pay the price for her, the second time he comes to get her.
Amen.
And think about what we just said. I go away to prepare a place for you, and when it's prepared, I'm coming to get you. Okay, so think about that. All right, so let's hit the first quote, which is these first two or three, or you're all going to recognize them, but just so we get back to that thought, okay? Harvest time, and this is the quote that triggered all these messages. This is what got me looking at this so strong. But Brother Ram said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other one, and one man over the other one. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. It's very specific on this oneness. That's what the prayer is. That he was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word, reflecting him. So I wonder if this has anything to do with him going away to prepare a place and come back. Let's just keep reading and see what the prophet says. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? And he does a whole lot of the message that way. And we're going to hit a few more places like that this morning. But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. Wasn't even close. That was that we might all congregate together and have a certain creed and so forth. So you're not going to be one as a group.
Amen.
There'll be a group that's one, but that's not how you're one.
Right.
We just read the oneness, okay? So I don't get confused. I'm sorry, but if I'm confusing you there. And all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God.
Amen.
Brother, I've done expressed to y'all my feelings about that. That's the greatest, to me, that's the greatest gift that God could ever give a man.
Amen.
Is to be one with him.
Amen.
Is to make him and be joined to him. I can't think of anything greater. And you know, there was a reason why Brother Branham said, marriage is a sacred thing to God.
Amen.
It's a sacred thing. And he wasn't just talking about marriage here. He was talking about that union between him and his bride. So, let's pick up in Revelation of Jesus Christ in the Church Age book. If revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God for it. That is the only way you're ever going to get it. Because revelation is God unfolding himself. This is the only way you're going to get it if you seek him for it. Now, for anybody who might be thinking, I'm leaving out men, that's pretty crazy to think that. But if you're thinking that, anybody who's listening to the tape or anything, God's doing everything through men. So there's no way to leave out men.
Amen.
So anytime he says any of this, it's coming through them. The part that's being left out is that carnal man. See,
right.
The carnal man has to go.
Amen.
It has to be replaced with the new man, that new creation. Then that's God. And then that's different. That old creation is what caused all the problems and all the denominations, and still does. Still does cause it. That is the only way you're ever going to get it. A revelation has to come from God. It never comes by human. Here we go again. Now think about this. It never comes from human. You remember Jesus said, he told Peter, not even my flesh and blood told you what that was, Peter.
Amen.
But God showed you that. But Jesus' flesh and blood, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, look at my life. Is there any part of my life that doesn't read like the Bible? That's what he told him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. Because they are they that speak of me. So what was he telling them? I didn't fleshly give that to you, but God through my life showed you what I was.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference between me giving you something like that and God using somebody to give something to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's clear. So, but that's where Satan works. He works on them little places like that. And he takes the intellectual mind and he goes a million miles away from God with it. He runs with it. It never comes by human natural endowments. You think about Moses. Brother Ram said he had to forget everything. And it looked just like he was the perfect one. He'd been trained up in the army. He knew all this stuff. He was super smart. He could do all these things. And then he tried to do it himself and we saw where it landed. But then when God got him out on the backside of the desert and flushed all that out of him, then he brought Israel out. But by spiritual endowment, you can even memorize the scripture. And though that is wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. It says in the word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. You can't even say that Jesus was the anointed one. You can say the words all you want to, but you can't say he was the anointed one unless he says it through you. You see how serious this gets. Remember I said how humbling it was to stand here, to know that I'm supposed to come here and speak to you about God and know that I'm not capable of doing that? And that I have to get out of the way.
Amen.
In order for him to bring it.
Amen.
That's the most humbling position you can be in.
Amen.
to know that you can't do anything, that he has to do it.
Amen.
But at the same time, you know you can depend on him. Mm-hmm. And you know that you don't have to worry about it at all. It says in the word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. You have to receive the Holy Ghost then, and only then can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Only then do you know it. God, the Anointed One. No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he whom the Spirit of God revealed them, and he to whom the Spirit of God revealed them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world.
Amen.
We have, you hear that? I mean, we do a lot of praying sometimes, but this is what we should be praying for more than anything. And do we do that? Do we pray that God will reveal himself to us so that when we say Jesus is the Christ, we can say it the way he said it, say it, and anything else in the word.
Right.
We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. But still, it is not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. The word has not been quickened.
Amen.
They can agree with all of it, and it still ain't quickened to them. And I say them, I'm talking about all of us.
Okay?
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he's going to give an example of what he just said. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Did you get it? He says that we are the very righteousness of God himself. By being in Christ.
Amen.
It says that he, Jesus, became sin for us. It does not say he became sinful, but became sin for us that by our union with him, we might become the righteousness of God. If we accept the fact, and we must, that he literally became sin for us by his substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact. That we, by our union with him, have become the very righteousness of God.
Amen.
Do we believe that we are the righteousness of God? We're at that place when that's quickened to our heart, that we're the very righteousness of God. We're not the thing that was born into this world. We're the righteousness of God.
Amen.
We're him identifying himself. We're him showing, see, I am the Savior. I did what I said I was going to do. See, look.
Amen.
He's pointing you at Satan, saying, see, Satan, I did it.
Amen. That's good.
There he's going.
He don't have to say it. I'm pretty sure Satan can see it. That's why he turns with guns. That's why he turns his guns on you. Don't worry. God's got it under control. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. Now we know the Bible says that. It can't be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. We just said. It's not real to the majority of God's children. It is just a good verse in the Bible. We need to have it made alive to us. Now he's given us something to think and pray about.
Amen.
He just said that most people don't have this, that we need it. He said most of the children of God, the majority of God's children don't have it. And it will take revelation. All right, so this is one more quote to back that up a little bit more, just in case somebody thinks it's a fluke. God's provided a place of worship. And that's what's the matter with the church today. We're full of theology without any dynamics in it. That's right. In other words, you've got to have the spark to the gasoline, or the gasoline is no more than, it's not even as good as water. To have the word without the spark is no more than just having water. It ain't going to fire at all. It ain't going to do you any good. As long as it hasn't got the spark to fire it. So that's the way. No matter how well we're taught, how well we'll believe, and how much of the Bible that we say is true, and we believe it's all true, it's got to be the dynamics that has got to be there. The spark to set that word afire and make it start rolling. It's just the same as what he said a while ago. It has to be revelation. He's using the word quickening now and saying some of the same things. It's got to have it. If you don't, church, sit still. The car sits still. You sit still. But no matter how much you say, I sympathize. I believe every word of that. Remember what Brother Ram said? Evidence of the Holy Ghost is to punctuate every word of God with the amen.
Amen.
So I had the question last Wednesday. Does that mean, is that the same thing as he said about being able to say Jesus is the Christ? Can you even punctuate every word with an amen unless it's the Holy Ghost that does it? Mm-hmm. Brother Brown says right here, believe that you can, no matter how much you say, I sympathize and I believe every word of that. You've got to have something spark that off to make that 100 octane go to firing and the big church go to moving on. It's got to take the dynamics and the mechanics. Nothing wrong with the mechanics, but lacking the dynamics. I think that's what's the matter with the church today. We're lacking the dynamical power to press this word and make it live for this day. But God had promised to make your word live for this day. He's looking for people who want to take it, who want to grab a hold of what he said and believe it for this hour. And we can't do it, church, when everything in this world is more important than this.
Amen.
This is God. He's worked for thousands of years on this to make this happen. And if it means an hour or two to us a week, are we concerned about his kingdom? Think about it. What is it? Those people sat in the upper room, how many days was it? They sat up there for a long time. Brother Brown said they went through all kind of stuff. I felt a little shiver. Maybe that was it. Maybe this was it. Maybe that was it. But when it come, they knew it.
Yeah.
But they had to stay there and believe and wait for God to do it. And if we're not believing and waiting for God, Brother Ram said, those that are waiting and looking, those are the ones that's going to see it.
Amen.
I know I've said those things 20 times now, but we're talking about oneness, brother and sister.
Amen.
We're talking about the greatest thing God's ever given me.
Amen.
You know, he was oneness, Brother Ram said, in part. Like when the Holy Ghost come on Samson and he slew all those. When the Holy Ghost come on him, he picked up the gate of the city and took it up on the hill and throw it down the ground. But that was in part. We're talking about a oneness that's unbreakable.
Amen.
That's for eternity. We're talking about what he had in the back of his mind taking place. Yeah. Where was I? Paragraph. Okay. It goes right back then. It goes right by them. They don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. The same thing come through in the days of Noah. Same thing come through in the days of Moses. The days of Elijah, the days of the prophets, the days of Jesus. See, all those times, he's the same thing, going over their head, and a little bit's getting the predestinated seeds pulled out every time. On down through and to this very hour, the pregnated person with the seed of God, the word in there manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God that the Word and the Word alone manifests itself in this person. The Word and the Word alone manifest itself in this person. This is a promise, brother and sister, that He's given to us. Manifest itself in this person, this the prisoner, to an individual. Not say, my church, now my church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, one person. All hell is against this teaching. All hell is against this teaching of this personal revelation. All hell is against this truth, but it is the truth. Jesus never said to John, to Peter, you and John, and all the rest of you people, you got the revelation, now the whole church is saved. No. It was to him personally. I say unto thee, not to them, to thee. It was that scripture. You know, one thing I've noticed in the scripture, in the message here lately, is how Brother Branham specifically points out what part of the scripture is to who and what it's being addressed for and things like that. You know, tell me that wasn't God, I tell you. And it fits perfect. It was to him personally, I say unto thee, thee, not to them, to thee. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the word Peter means a stone. Stone means the confessed one or the separated one. Upon a certain stone, upon a certain thing, see, a called out, the church called out. Upon this stone, upon this revelation, flesh and blood never revealed it to you. But upon this revelation, called out group, I'll build my church in them.
Amen.
And all the gates of hell will never be able to withstand it. That's a good promise right there.
Amen.
Let that go deep, brother and sister. When he puts it in your heart, hell can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. Not one hair of your head shall perish. You're mine. I'll raise you up in the last day. Give unto him eternal life and raise him up at the last days. There it is, the revelation. Not them, but him. An individual. Not a group. An individual. All hell is against it. Now, I want you to think about something else right there before we move to this next quote. If it's an individual, then somebody else's idea about something cannot be in your head when you go in that closet with God. Somebody else's opinion about something can't be in your head when you go in that closet. It has to be just you and God when you go in that closet.
Amen.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that a minister who's told you the truth, you can ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about all this nonsense that people try to tell you this and tell you that, but they can't show you the scripture for it.
Amen.
They can tell you a bunch of nonsense, but they can't show you the scripture.
Amen.
Somebody tries to show you something, tell you something, tell them to show it to you in the message.
Yes, sir.
And if they can't, then just ignore it. But if they do, then listen. Because when you go in that closet, what you're carrying in that closet is you and God, the Word. You're not carrying an idea about the Word into that closet. They don't, and it's not going to work. And when I closet, I mean in prayer. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now let's go into this God's provided place of worship. So this is, I think it's the same message we were in a while ago. It was just further down. Let's find out what the Bible says now. We find in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Bible said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're baptized into the body of Christ by one Holy Spirit. We're not shook in. We're not joined in. We're not baptized with water in. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus Christ. How long does it last when you get in there? Until you misbehave yourself? Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption." Argue with him, not me. That's what it says. I'm reading it. All right. You're sealed all the day of, until the day of your redemption, until the day that Jesus comes for you, which we said was when? When he comes for his bride, it's when? The second coming. It's also what Brother Ram said back here, is when he gets that place prepared, he comes for you, comes to get you so that you might be where he is. And where is he? Where is Christ? He's one with God. And his prayer was that you might be one with God. And he went away to prepare a place that you might be one with him. You might be where he is, one with God as he is one with God. How long does it last? Well, I got that. You're sealed until the day of your redemption, until the day that Jesus comes for you. Then think of it. You're then not yourself. You are a new creature. For the Greek means a new creation. You've been recreated again. The power of God comes upon you and you become created, a new creature, which brings the whole physical being, spiritual being, and everything in subject to the Word of God.
Amen.
Not no other way than that. How can you say that you're a Christian then and disobey this Word in one thing?
Amen.
So he created a new creature in you, and that new creature is part of God. And what is he saying? If you're a part of God, how can that part of God be disobeying God? It can't be doing it. All right, so now I want us to look at this question that somebody asked Brother Branham about the translation. And we just talked about being a new creation. And let's see what Brother Branham said happens from that new creation. "Please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride." Just a change, he says. Our bodies, now, let's say our, you know what I mean when I say that. I don't mean to be sacrilegious. I don't mean to say ours. I don't mean to say this church. I mean to say every believer. Abraham, he was looking for a promised son that was promised him. Is that right? And the church is looking for a promised son, the one that said he would come back after he's prepared a place. The bride, is that right? The bride is looking for that the promised son. And before the promised son could come to Sarah and Abraham, their bodies had to be changed. Is that right? She was too old to have a baby. She had no milk veins in her breast. Her breast was dried up. Her womb wasn't fertile. She was sterile. She could not have the baby. Her heart was too old to stay in labor. So what happened? God changed her back to a young woman. And he did Abraham the same thing. Because he said his body was as good as dead, see? And he had a change. Had to change their body in order to receive the promised son. And we cannot receive the promised son that's promised us today in these bodies that we live in. These bodies are sin. They have to be changed. This first conscience controls this body with see, taste, feel, and smell, and hear. And it's got us all scrupled up. We reason and everything else. But that new body, which one?
The new body.
That comes from this born again.
Amen, that's it.
Amen.
Now he just said we had to get something new before we can receive the Son.
Praise God.
That comes from this born again.
That's the one.
Not this first conscious. See, he's not talking about, he said Quit thinking about this body. That's what he's trying to get them to think about for a minute. Quit thinking about this thing for a minute. It'll pass away. It's that inside something that lives. Everybody understand it? Say amen. It's not this outside see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Yeah. It isn't. Yeah. It's subject to death, and it will die. But that inside part of you down in there, inside, that is the person that cannot die. And what did Brother Branham say took for us to be made alive? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother Branham said, not part of the words. I got a quote for that if you want it. He said, not part of the words, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's how we're going to live. It's subject to death and will die. But that inside part of you down inside, that is the person that cannot die, see? And that's the person that the new life starts from. From this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person. It builds another person in the image of this one.
Amen.
Around that life. You get it? So potentially, it's in here. So potentially, the change of this thing is in here.
Amen.
And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. That word that promised before the great national world. What did Brother Brown say? That promise that was in the back of God's mind. That thing that he was holding back and not telling nobody is now in the heart of the believer.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the person that cannot die, see? It builds another life around that life. It builds a person you are around that life. You get it? So potentially it's in here. What is it? The word promise before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative. That will reflect the positive, the word, see? And the same thing, in other words, that new body that you have, it will reflect the positive. Brother Branham says in Things That Are To Be, he talks about how that all these things here now are expressed here to show that there's something that don't have to die. Mm-hmm. This one dies and gets sick and it gets old. But that one, he said, doesn't. He said, these are just types and shadows of the real. The translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body, will materialize around that word. And the same thing did by Sarah before. When that old body that she had, that first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get it? That body could not do it. This body cannot do it. So it'll have to be changed the same way to receive a son. And that old soul couldn't, Brother Ram said, it couldn't be fixed up, couldn't be patched up. And when Brother Branham said that marriage was sacred to God, he's not going to marry that. He's not going to join himself to that.
Amen.
It has to be a virgin-born bride. Get it? A virgin-born bride. What's the only thing that's born that we know of right now is the soul. He just said it's born, created new. When you're born again, he joins himself to that new creation. Because it is a creation, right? Brother Branham said it was a creation. About, I can probably find you 20 places where he said the soul was a creation. So we can talk about that deeper some other time. I don't want to get off on that thought. So let's move on down here into... It's the same message, just above it, I think. God's provided a place of worship. Now, at the end time, we see the things happening the way they are. There's a great warning amongst the elected people of God to find what is right. They're hearing the warning to find what's right. The elected people of God. Nobody else, just the elected. And it behooves us to know that. Now, not somebody's theory, but to know what is truth. I'm sure this is where Brother Holmes pulled that title years ago. But to know what is truth, what the Bible says is the truth. Because it'll be too late one of these days for us, and this may be the day. So let's take real consideration of what God has said. Sounds a whole lot like being sufficiently impressed to me. Let's take real consideration. Being convinced and concerned. Remember, when God speaks a word, he can never take it back. When he spoke you into existence way back there as part of the Logos, was you a sinful person? So he can't take it back. It has to happen. You have to be a sinless person brought into this world. And it behooves us to know that. And remember, when God speaks a word, he can never take it back. He has to ever remain the same. He can never say something and then say, well, I didn't exactly mean that. See, he's infinite. He knows the best to begin with. Now, you see why he says that Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father first shows me? That's why he could say he reflected this word. Because the word says here, that God don't say something and have to take it back. Or maybe I wasn't right. Or switch it just a little to make it sound like that's what you really meant. Or some other nonsense like that. We say things that we think is best. Then after a while, we take it back. But God can't do that and remain God. So if he is infinite, he does not do that. Because he is perfect in every word. He never utters a word unless it's eternal. All of his eternals was with him in the beginning. So you're one of those eternals and he uttered you. All of his eternals was with him at the beginning. His thoughts, his attributes. And they're only expressing themselves in the world today. Now remember, he has a provided place. One place alone where he's going to meet the believing children. And the believing ones. Anywhere else won't work. Remember, Jesus said when he was on earth, talking to the bunch of people who were very religious, very fine, very cultured, very zealous people of God. But Jesus said to them, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men. Remember how pious those people were and how zealous of God. I believe if we were counting the people who were more zealous of today or that day, they would be more zealous than we are. Far more. But they were zealous about the wrong thing. Yeah. And so it made them no good. It made no good whatsoever. When it come to keeping the traditions and the laws and things, they lived by those. And they were very zealous of God, and they believed God. But Jesus, God made flesh among us, said, in vain do you worship me now. He didn't say they didn't worship him. They were worshiping him, but in vain. So anything in vain is no avail. It doesn't do no good. You should never do it, because you're just wasting your time. All our fleshly understanding and all our fleshly discussion and all our everything, it has nothing to do with God. You should never do it because you're just wasting your time. I mean, fleshly discussion about God has nothing to do with God. I remember so many times Brother Holmes said, he said over and over and over and over, we got to stop trying to worship God in the flesh. Over and over and over, he said it. And it's the truth. Amen. There is no worshiping God in the flesh. Amen. He was really being nice when he said that. There is no worshiping God in the flesh. The only way to worship God is in the spirit, period. Amen. So anything in vain is of no avail, doesn't do no good. You should never do it because you're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. You're wasting your efforts. And until we come to know what we're doing, until we have that spiritual revelation, we're just wasting our time and our breath. See why he said to be in prayer and be there asking for revelation. Because the only then can you not be wasting your breath. If it's a revelation and you're living it, God's living it through you. He promised to meet you there. He promised to meet us all there. Surely, if God expects people, now I want you to listen to this close. Every time I've ever spoke about perfect, people think I'm talking about the flesh, and I'm not. But God said that you, your works will reflect your faith. So that's as far as I go on that right now. But right now, let's just stick with this. Surely, if God expects people to be perfect, he expects people to be perfect. Didn't he have a perfect thought of us when he uttered us back there?
Amen.
Then he expects us to be perfect because he's going to make it that way. As Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. How? Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you're going to have his spirit before you can be perfect. There must be some preparation somewhere if he's told us that. And he said, I'll choose the place that people will worship me. No other place will I meet them. And now that's got to be that place that we ought to seek it out. Is this the place that he's talking about there in the beginning? I go to prepare a place and then I'm coming to get you. Just think about it. There's got to be that place and we ought to seek it out. You ought to seek out Christ. What did he say? Ask for revelation. That is Christ. Brother and sister, the message, there is so much in this message. And I don't mean to try to make light of any part of it. But Brother Branham said the same thing in about a dozen different ways. And it was all trying to point us to Christ. Point us to obedience. Point us to that prayer closet. Point us to obeying this scripture in the spirit, not just an act that we do every day. Because I don't believe that we can say Jesus is the Christ any more than we can put a dress on and it be Christ doing it. See, if I can't utter words and it not be Christ, then I can't do actions and it's not Christ. Then it has to be Christ, period.
Yeah.
Does that make sense that I muddle that all? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'll choose the place that the people will worship me. No other place will I meet them. And now that's got to be that place. And we ought to seek it out. Find out where it's at. And then go there. And think we should, I think we should turn there quickly when we find this the place, leaving other things alone. Could try to understand God intellectually. I don't mean read your scripture. I don't mean read the Bible. I don't mean that. I don't mean listen to the preacher. I do not, and this is things that are to be. And I had a bunch of this in here, and I cut a bunch of it out, but we're going to hit this much. I do not think that in heaven is a place that my mother used to tell me about. I believe that the church has grown from that. To think it used to be 100 years ago or two, I think the old timers used to think that everyone that died went up to heaven and had a harp and sat up there with clouds on the clouds and played a harp. And now they know that that was a place called heaven, but they... If that be so, then all the musicians would have it on us, you see. But it isn't that kind of a place. It isn't playing harps at all. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But that was a conception they had before the fullness of the word come into existence. This is an odd quote to throw this. This is a powerful statement that he's making right here in the middle of this quote. And it's put in here between things that don't seem to be related but are. Sometimes we focus on the power and we miss all the extra around it. I mean, I've done it many a time. But that was the conception that they had before the fullness of the word come into existence, or the opening of the seals. So when did the fullness of the word come into existence? At the opening of the seals. Tell me that seventh seal wasn't open. Who in the world who says they love this message
Amen.
Thinks the seventh seal wasn't open?
Amen.
Not only was it open, but he was being revealed to his people. That's promised to us in this age that we then understand. I believe that heaven is a real place. Just the same as this is a real place, see? For God started us in our spiritual growth in this place. And I believe that heaven, he's talking about this earth, that's what he's talking about, not that particular building or whatever. And I believe that in heaven is a place just as real as this. But we don't sit up there for eternity and just sit there on a cloud. We don't just strum our harp and all from here ever. But we're going to a real place that we're going to do things and we're going to live. We're going to work. We're going to enjoy. We're going to live. We're going to life, to real eternal life. We're going to a heaven, a paradise, just like Adam and Eve worked. Now, how is it that these ideas of what heaven was went away and a real truth came on what heaven was when the seals were open? Why did God wait all that time to tell us what the real truth was of it? God reveals his truth because it's time for us to accept it and for it to do what it's supposed to bring for this age. We're going to life, to real eternal life. We're going to heaven and a paradise. Just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and eat and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in, we're on our road back there again, right back. We're on our road back there. We stopped going away from it. Now we're going back to it. The first Adam through sin taking us out. The second Adam through righteousness brings us back in again, justifies us, and brings us back in. And Brother Brown, I cut out the quote, but there's another quote right after that where Brother Brown talks about going back and listening to the message he just preached on justification. He wanted them to get that, what your righteousness was and what the second Adam had done. So our schools and things are blown up. And God never said go forth and make schools or even have Bible schools. You know that? He said preach the word. That's exactly right. Our educational system takes us farther away from God than anything I know of. What about educational system of the message?
Amen.
When we try to tell somebody Jesus is the Christ when we don't have the Holy Ghost. It's a real thing, brother and sister. It's the fine line. Brother Branham divided the fine line, not Chris Osborne. Chris didn't do it. Brother Branham said these things.
Amen.
He's the one divided that line right there and made it so close. I read you the quotes this morning. Farther away from God. Not build schools and hospitals and so forth. That was for the world and for that group. He's telling you that all the intellectual people in the world are working on all these things across the world, and the best they can do is stuff that kill one another. And so what are you going to do when you try to take that and take God's precious word and try to understand it with that same intellect? That's what he's trying to say. And he's trying to tell you that that's Satan's domain. And when you try to understand God, don't try to bring Satan's domain in and understand God like that. That's what he's trying to tell us. We build a hospital ever so good and practice with the best medicine we got, and thousands die in it daily. But oh my, in the kingdom of God, there's no death and there's no sorrow. Amen. There's no need of these things of the world. But we've passed from this thing into the realities of God, where we struggle so hard to try to find through science. We done passed. The things that they struggled so hard to try to find through science, we done passed into the realities of God. And more scientific we get, more death we bring on ourselves. The more they use that brain to try to figure out their problems and get away from it, the worse off we get. We're fighting a losing battle. There. No, so turn loose of it. And by faith, believe Jesus Christ. Don't try to bring that mess in and try to believe Christ that way. Yeah. By faith, do it. Believe Christ, the Son of God, tonight and accept Him. He is the one. Amen. Yeah. So He's going on. He's going to talk about perfection a little more in the same message. Oh, but the other one is called My Father's House. And we're going to pick up that thought that we had in the very beginning, that scripture. The other one is called My Father's House. And I'll go and prepare a place for you. Take you out of this pest house and deliver you into My Father's house. It sounded like to me what was getting ready, that was had already started in that explanation of the translation. He was already taking us out of this and putting us there. Eventually, this will go. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place, where no evil exists, no sickness exists, no old age exists, no death exists. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. This place is calling us to that perfection. A perfect place. And it's calling us to that. And you have to be perfect to get there. You won't hear it. You won't hear it calling unless you're perfect too. The Bible said so. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." It's a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people come, because you have to stand and be married to the perfect Son of God. Get that. Talk about oneness, as what he was just talking about in that other message. In Christ the mystery of God. Before he ever brought that quote on harvest time, that was a year and a half later before he brought that quote. But he was already hitting it in Christ the mystery of God revealed. And if you go look before the seals, he was hitting it here and there too, as he was bringing it up. It was just getting greater and greater and greater. The more he talks about that union, the more I want it. The more I want it to be what it's supposed to be in this hour. Be manifest in this hour. It's a perfect place, and it's calling you to that perfection. The fullness of the word coming to existence, calling us to that. You have to have the perfect to get there. The Bible said so. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." It's a perfect kingdom, so it must have a perfect people come. Because you have to be, stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect word of God? So if this is what's expected of us in this hour, how can we have anything less than the perfect word of God? How can, just jump out at people.
Amen.
Like Brother Bram said, that pregnant seed, that this predestinated one, they're going to catch it. They're going to see that. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect word of God? Which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins. Amen. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. The dripping bloody word. Amen. The blood, the word of God, bleeding blood that washed the bride in it. Amen. Yes, sir. She stands perfect. Virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. She was trapped into it. See? There's the Father's house that he's gone Amen. To prepare.
Amen.
Amen.
He's calling us to it, brother and sister. We just got to get our eyes off everything else. Now, think of how that God, we should behave ourselves and act like Christians. Our conduct should be like Christians. Because we're aliens here. We're not of this world no more. Not when this soul change comes. We're aliens here. This is not our home. No. We were just here temporarily. We've got to go. Every one of us tonight. Now think. If God in His mercy has the mother before the little baby is born, is craving for some vitamin, and the vitamin, and the mother's words speaks forth, "Dad, I want cantaloupe or watermelon. I want something or another." Now he's typing it with the spiritual now. It's out of why he'll do everything he can to get that, because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as can be. See? And he'll do everything he's able to do to get it. Now, how much more abler? I love his English. I mean, I don't care whether that's in the dictionary or not. I know exactly what he means. How much more abler is he to get it? He's a creator. Now think how able he is to prepare us a body. Brother Bram talks later in this message about laying out those vitamins and things that we need in the message. How able he is to prepare us a body to live like his own glorious body. If we want to live, there's something in us calls to live. And there's something in us that calls to do right. That perfection. That God will call somebody on the platform or the pulpit that will preach the absolute truth. Why? See, it shows you that calling brings somebody up to preach the truth. See, it shows you. It's just like that man that was down there and didn't know what he was reading. And was it Stephen or Philip that got caught and put down there? It's Philip. Got caught and put down there. And Philip showed him. He was born again. And you never hear anything more about it. He had what he needed. He had the Holy Ghost now. Then if you're a real child of God, you begin to cry out, "God, take it away from me. Circumcise me from these things. Take these things away from me." See that spirit going to work and God bringing it to pass? Why? It's needed for your heavenly home that you're going to. Where he's gone on to prepare. You've got to be a real word bride of God, of Jesus Christ. Y'all, excuse me. Brother Branham picked up on this eagle story, and he said something here that really stirred me a little bit, so I wanted to include it. One day, the old mammy was hunting for him. It must have been the year of Jubilee for the little fella. The old mother come over and she screamed. And he looked up and he said, "That sounds right." He heard something. She said, "Son, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Come out of it." Said, "Mama, how do I get out?" And she said, "Just flop your wings." The wings he was born with. Predestination. Believe what I put in you. That's your God-given deliverance. Those wings you were born with. Amen. That predestination you was given. That's your God-given deliverance. You're born an eagle. You've got an inheritance. Come on up higher. Get out of that stuff. And return back. He made 4 or 5 flops, and then when he did, he sat down on a post in the yard, right in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. And she said, "Son, you'll have to jump higher than that, or I can't get you." He's calling for that complete surrender. Mm-hmm. Turn loose of your ideas and your thoughts. Next jump, he lit on Mama's wings and went up into the heavenlies. That's the call of the day, brother. Return back. You're not chickens, you're eagles. Return back. Yes, sir. Now we know that it's true.
Amen.
So I appreciate